I won't be before you long. I just want to, and I thank the Lord for Aaron coming out. Amen, amen. He still got on his work clothes, but he made it here. Amen. I love that kind of spirit. You know, that's that old time spirit. Amen. That you know, I'm gonna go if I just have to go for a few hours. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy. We used to live in Bakersfield, and at that time, it wasn't as a big metropolis that it is today. You know, we used to live on the outskirts, and they called it the country. Amen. We used to live out in the country, and the church was in the city. Sometimes, you know, it was, you didn't have a 9-to-5 job or just a regular job. We worked from sun up to sundown. That was our clock. Amen. When the sun came up, even sometime before the sun come up. I remember my stepdad used to get me up before the sun came up to start the equipment, the tractors, and get all that stuff ready. And then we worked till the sun go down. You couldn't see no more, so that's when you quit. Amen. That's the kind of spirit I'm talking about. That's kind of spirit. But we, after all of that, my mom would load us in the car, and we'd drive to Bakersfield, drive to the city. I don't know, it's probably about 30 miles. And sometimes we get right there when they were saying the benediction. But we made it. Amen. That's why I say, if you could just make it.
Yeah.
If you could just make it. That's the same with heaven. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of saints that's been on this journey a long time.
Amen.
There's some just going to be just starting when he comes back for his church. But it doesn't matter whether you've been on the journey for a long time or whether you just started.
Yeah.
If you can just make it in before he closes the door, before he catches us up, then you all right.
Yeah.
Amen. So I thank and praise God for you being here.
Amen.
You don't know how much it means that you're here. When I come and I don't see your cars here, I go, uh-oh. So, like I said, I won't be before you too long. I just, a couple of scriptures, amen. I don't know, the Lord was leading me back this way. I've talked about this scripture before, but I want to talk about it again. It's Psalms 46, verses 8 through 10. And then we're going to stay in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Exodus. Amen. Exodus is a good book because it, in itself, it means the leaving of somewhere, the coming out of something. Amen. Exodus. Amen. It's when Jesus brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. Their exodus out of Egypt. Exodus 14. I think we do 12 through 15. Okay. Psalms 46. 8 and 10. It says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Amen. What did I say? Exodus. Amen. Exodus 14 and 12. It says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Amen, amen. Today, the text that I want to use is, Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, being totally, being still is totally against the nature of man. It is one of the most difficult things that God has ever told us to do. Especially when we feel that we are facing a crisis. The need to do something gives us a notion that we are somehow in charge. We got to do something. I got to take charge. I got this. Whereas being still and doing nothing makes us to face up to our insignificant and our inability of our needs. It kind of, like they say, it takes the winds out of our sail, you know. And to top it all off, as if it wasn't bad enough, it's like adding insult to injury. God tells us not only to be still, he tells us to shut up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, in our panic and our inability to handle situations, we often find ourselves putting God on a timetable.
Amen.
Demanding that he do something.
Amen.
And do it right now, Lord.
Hallelujah. Right now.
If you don't, it's going to be too late. But we still have to learn, like the Bible says, God can be 4 days late and still be on time.
Amen.
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 We all know that story.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Today, God is looking for someone to trust in him.
Hallelujah.
In every situation and under all circumstances.
Amen.
Amen. Now, God often leads us into critical, difficult, alarming situations in order to test us and teach us to trust him. God just wants to see if we are willing to leave things into his capable hands and to wait on him for deliverance. Amen. On deliverance that always comes. But time after time, we panic and we fail to wait on him. The scriptures in Psalms 37 and 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
To order something means that it has been prearranged. Amen. It's fixed or ordained by God.
Thank you.
What this means is that it's not the devil, but God that leads us into these difficult places. Amen. A lot of people say, oh, that's the devil. He led me here. But it's God that leads us into these difficult places.
Amen.
It's hard for us to understand that.
Hallelujah.
But take, for instance, all the food that we eat. We want to make sure that it has a USDA stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
All the medicine that we take, we want to make sure that it's FDA approved.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know that it follows the federal guidelines for human consumptions.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes in our youth, we feel that we are strong as Atlas. We can hold up the world.
Yeah.
But the first crisis that comes along, we panic.
Yeah.
Now, I said earlier that God leads us into these situations to test us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't get tested unless you're put into difficult situations.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the scripture says that he will never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, okay, I brought you here, now you're on your own.
Amen.
He didn't say that. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
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 You know, I remember some things that my mom say, and I remember this one. She said, if God can bring you to it, he can take you through it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he can.
Amen. If God can bring you to a situation, he can take you on through.
Yes.
Amen. He's not going to leave you there.
Hallelujah.
As long as we stay with God, God will stay with us.
Yes.
Amen. Scripture says God is faithful and he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape.
Hallelujah.
That we may be able to bear it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Saints, there is a path that the vulture's eye has not seen. It is the escape route.
Amen.
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 For us, the people of God. When the enemy thinks he's got you in his clutches,
yeah,
he looks around and he wonders, now, where did they go? I know I set that trap. I know I talked about them. I know they supposed to respond.
Amen.
But they didn't.
Hallelujah.
They took the secret escape that God had put up for them. The one that the devil didn't know about. I emphasize with David when he said, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. It's no wonder the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? When will we learn to trust in Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen. One of the greatest examples of testing that the people of God has ever undergone was the Red Sea.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. With the enemy swiftly approaching, mountains on either side, and the sea of water before them.
Yes.
Amen. This was not instigated by the devil. This crisis was completely arranged by God. Amen. The Bible says it was God who hardened Pharaoh's heart and caused him to flee after the children of Israel.
Thank you, Jesus.
it was God that allowed the Egyptians to overtake them. Amen. It was God who told them specifically to camp where they camped, knowing full well that this location was situated in an impossible escape.
Thank you.
With the sea bordering one side and Pharaoh coming up behind. You think God didn't know all this?
Hallelujah.
You think maybe the devil had pulled one over on God? I got him now.
Mm-hmm.
I got him right where I want him.
Yeah.
No. This was all in the plan of God.
Hallelujah.
And he knew exactly what he was going to do.
Amen.
And what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
God had plenty of chances to do things to Pharaoh that could have alleviated the situation.
Amen.
Amen. God could have caused Pharaoh and his army to get stranded in the desert. Amen.
Amen.
God could have blinded the Egyptians when he put the pillar a fire in between the camps.
Amen.
He could have blinded them.
Mm-hmm.
He could have made them destroy themselves like he did the Syrians.
Hallelujah.
But God chose to let them pursue his people to the brink of the sea.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not even there, but into the sea itself.
Yeah.
But not before he had squeezed Israel into an impossible tight place.
Amen.
That they knew there was no humanly way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are three distinct reasons God allowed this to happen. One was that God wanted to completely annihilate their enemies.
Yes.
So that they would never fear them again.
That's right.
Amen. God said that I'm going to scatter the bodies of your enemies along the shore so you can see them. You're going to know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make them disappear in the thin air and you won't know what happened to them. I'm God. I can do that.
All right.
But I'm not going to do that. I want you to know that I have the power to protect you regardless to the circumstances.
Hallelujah.
Two is that God wanted to give Israel the opportunity to put their lives in his hands.
Hallelujah.
To trust him to deliver them no matter how hopeless the situation seemed.
Yeah.
Just like us today. Sometimes we don't know where our next meal is coming from.
Hallelujah.
We don't know how the next bill is going to get paid. Sometimes I don't know how I'm going to put gas in my wife's truck to get over that hill because
right.
It sucks up the gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seems like I'm putting gas in that truck every day. But I'd rather for her to drive that truck than drive that little car because over that hill I want her to have the protection.
Yeah.
Amen. But last but not least, God wanted to be exalted not only among the Israelites, but among the Egyptians as well.
Amen.
Amen. He wanted the nations to know the power that was in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The power that was in his name. Amen. To sum it all up, God said, to prove Israel and to make a name for himself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may ask me, is there anywhere in the Bible that says that God did this to his people? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Deuteronomy 8 and 2. It says, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, get this, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Mark that one down and read that one again and think about it. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. That's a good scripture. God said that thou shalt remember all the ways which who?
The Lord.
All right. Amen. I was just wondering if you were listening. The Lord thy God.
Yes.
Led thee these 40 years in the wilderness for what?
To humble thee.
To prove thee.
To know what was in thine heart.
Now, we don't want God to have to humble us, do we?
No.
He can. God can humble us.
Yeah.
Right.
But we may not like the way he does it. But he can. And he said, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart.
Yeah.
Now this was to let them know.
Amen.
Because God already knows. He already knows what's in our heart.
Hallelujah.
But to let us know.
Yeah.
To let them know what was in their heart.
That's right.
Whether they, and we need to put ourselves, we would keep his commandments.
Amen.
Whether we would keep his law. How many times have we declared that I don't care what nobody say or do. I'm going to stick with the Lord. And then somebody comes along and they don't speak to you the way that you think they should. And you leave the church because somebody wronged you. Sometimes folks get mad at each other, and like I say, leave the church, and they, in the end, some of them make up with that person, but they never come back to the church. Saints, God didn't do anything to us. God is the best thing that ever happened to us. So we shouldn't let somebody cause us to leave the church. My advice to you is to leave that person alone. If you got to do something. But don't leave the church. Because somebody might just need your testimony.
Amen.
As little as you realize or we realize, you may be the example or the reason somebody makes it. We are examples to this world. Now, in our subject text today, God was saying to his people, I brought you into this circumstance and condition so that you would learn to trust me. Amen. I want you to exercise your faith. I give you some hard, hungering places, some terrifying places, just to see if you would trust me. Now, as the Egyptians got closer, the children of Israel didn't have no place to hide, nowhere to go. The scripture says in Exodus, go back up to the 10th verse, it says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, they weren't just scared. The Bible said they were sore afraid. That means they were shaking in their boots. They were scared. What are we going to do now? God knew that this was going to frighten the Israelites. But see, God had hoped that they would look back to the thing that just had happened, to that marvelous deliverance out of Egypt. Amen. When over a quarter of a million people left and nobody lifted a hand to stop them.
Amen.
He was hoping that they would look at that and trust him. That they would come to the conclusion that, Lord, we're just going to trust you on this one. We're just going to let you handle the situation. But no. They were like we are. They started to murmur against the servant of God. Now, isn't it strange how we don't want to listen to our leaders, the people that God has placed over us? But when we get in trouble, it's our leaders, it's the pastors' fault. Now, if we look at verses 11 and 12, it says, "And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness."
Amen.
They said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, did you, pointing at Moses, bring us out here to die in this wilderness? Why did you, pointing at Moses, do this to us? Why, pointing at Moses, bring us out of Egypt? Say, it would have been better just to stay there. How soon they forgot the horrible life, how soon that we forget the horrible life of sin that bounds us, that bounds us. How soon we forget how the leaders, the pastors, lay before God and intercede in our behalf. How they go out of their way. They make sacrifices.
Amen.
How soon they forgot that it was Moses who jeopardized his life,
yeah,
going before the Pharaoh and demanding he let Israel go.
That's right.
It was Moses who chose to suffer with them rather than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was Moses who forsook the riches of Egypt. You may be facing your own crisis and you don't know what to do. But try to realize, saints, that it is God that led us into the place where we are.
Hallelujah.
And it was for the purpose of building your faith.
Yeah.
So that you will be able to trust in Him.
Amen.
In the difficult days to come.
Yeah.
It may seem like it's bad now, but it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Hallelujah.
Believe me. You may be tempted to ask, well, if it's going to get worse, what do I do? Where do we go? What are we going to do?
Man.
You may have the urge to want to move, to get away. But I want you to listen to God's answer to Israel. He said, stand still.
Hallelujah.
And I will show you my deliverance.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will fight for you. and you shall hold your peace. God is saying to us, as he did to Israel, the first thing you have to do is to deal with fear. Because even though I ordered your steps, I brought you to where you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
I did not give you the spirit of fear. Because fear has torment. And torment is of the devil.
Amen.
You see, that's the one thing that we have to be aware of, saints, is that we don't let the devil get into God's plan and wreck his will for us. God said to stand still. That means to stay put. I have you here for a reason. I want to work something out in you so that I can work something into you.
Hallelujah.
Let me repeat that again. I don't think you got that. He said, I want to work something out of you so that I can work something into you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Something that I can be pleased with and delighted in. God will test us, but he will never lead us into temptation. Amen. And he will not lead us into temptation, and he will allow us to come to our wits' end. If we have besetting sin, that's our personal Pharaoh. And his army of lying spirits continue to come against you, telling you that you might as well give up, that you can't make it. He's telling you that the pastor, the people in church don't trust you. He's telling you that everybody's looking at you funny. And you may wonder to yourself, you say, Lord, how can I ever get through this?
Hallelujah.
You might even think like Israel. I'll just go back to Egypt. But if you do, I'll tell you what. It's just like signing your own death warrant.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. How many Israelites do you think would have lived if they had gone back? Literally, they probably would have been killed on the spot, made an example out of. Going back into Egypt, going back into the world is hell talk. Don't let the devil mess with your soul. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to trust in him. He wants you to stand still and watch him deliver you. If you stay put, you'll come out of these crises stronger than ever. You'll be a much better soldier in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you got to endure hardness. The devil is after your soul. He wants to destroy you. He wants to get you off by yourself so he can kill you off. But don't let him. We have to hang in there and trust God. Now, when Israel came to Jordan in Joshua 3:8, God said, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Saints, water represents trouble here. But God is saying to us today, when we get in trouble, stand still. Stay put. If you trust me, I'll bring you out. If the enemy can make us move out of the place where God wants us to be, he'll try to make us, if he can't do that, he'll try to make us talk our way out. And you know how it is. Some of us can't shut up. for talking.
Amen.
Amen. But God said, shut up and leave it alone. Stop talking about the situation. Amen. When God covers a thing, don't dig it up. Let it stay buried. God said in Psalms, be still and know that I am God.
Hallelujah.
In other words, God is saying, quit striving. Stop all your efforts to deliver yourself. He says, acknowledge the fact that God alone can save.
Yeah.
Amen. God is a forgiving God.
Yes, he is.
He's a loving Savior.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he don't throw things up in our face.
Hallelujah.
God said he will cast all our sins into the sea of forgiveness. And he will remember them no more.
Hallelujah.
That should be enough for us. Amen.
Yeah.
Now in verse 15 of our scripture text, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. He said to go forward. But as we know, the sea was still there. Pharaoh was yet coming up behind him. But God said to go forward. It's time to stop looking back. Looking ahead and go forward. The prize is before us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Victory is not in the world that our flesh wants us to succumb to.
Amen.
Deliverance is not in Egypt.
Amen.
It's ahead. He, the Bible said, he that shall endure to the end.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The same shall be saved.
Yes.
It says that if we put our hand to the plow and look back, the scripture said we are not worthy. Amen. If we stay put and trust God, he will conquer our enemies and give us victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
The greatest enemy any of us has is our own flesh.
Yes.
Destroy it, or it will destroy you. Amen. We need today to lift up our heads.
Hallelujah.
We need to trust in God.
Yes.
And let him take us through.
Amen.
We need to go forward and don't look back.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Amen.